we are in preparation and prepared for the coming of Christ. I was meditating on that principle this week and on that idea, but some of the passages again that Lon shared with us for our own family devotions. And again, I encourage you, if you've not made use of that email that Lon sent out a couple weeks ago, to do that. And to strive to make a meaningful Christmas part of your own family tradition by using some of the scriptures in the way that he laid it out. I encourage you to try that. As I was meditating on the idea of preparation, I was really overcome with the realization or the recognition that God has prepared always his people for what he is doing and what he is about to do. He is not one who springs something brand new on people without any forewarning. Just a few examples. God promised to Abram that he would give him a son, and he would bless him through his son and make his name great. The world would be blessed through him. What Abraham was required to do was be patient and be faithful. A large part he was. Well, there's times that he didn't quite get there, and we have the difficult story of Abraham and Hagar and Ishmael and all the difficulties that come from that. Impatience on the part of Abraham and Sarah for God to fulfill what he has planned to do, what he has said he was doing. Abraham and Sarah ought to have been prepared for God to fulfill his promises. It's not just that story. Think about when God brought the people out of Egypt. He'd shown with a mighty arm and an outstretched hand that he could save his people and protect them and defeat all their enemies. And yet, he also was so kind as to give them food every day. The manna that was bread from heaven. What he required, he said, to gather up enough for one day. Don't keep any of it till the next day. Except on the Sabbath, then keep it over until the next day, you'll have enough. Israel, even in that first week, some gathered much and tried to save for the next day, and it rotted for them. Others went out on the Sabbath and looking for food, and it wasn't there, and God was angry both times. God prepared his people by telling them what he was going to do, what they were required to do, and they did not fully follow God's plans. God prepared his people for what he was doing, which shows that God is prepared beforehand to accomplish his good works. God is not reacting to our situation. God is not reacting to our choices in a way that makes him try to have to rearrange the pieces on the board all the time. He has a plan. He is prepared for all that is going on. God is prepared for all things that have happened, and he's prepared his people to walk through them. I was looking at one of my Bibles this week, and Bible I got when I was baptized, and it's a kid's Bible, kid's study Bible, and I still remember some of the charts and graphs and things that were there to help me understand the Bible and some of the, make it make sense to me. One of the charts that was helpful was the charts of the rulers of Israel and Judah. And it had the name and the approximate year by what, you know, when they were reigning, and the summary of whether they were good or bad or mediocre. There wasn't very many mediocre. There was only one that was mostly good. Everyone was either mostly bad or good. And then it had a little description about their activities. And as you look through the history of Judah, the southern kingdom, you had a mix of several good, but many bad. Whereas Israel was pretty much all were bad, continually. I read the scripture, Isaiah chapter 40, this morning. If you're still there, you can open up to that. Isaiah 40 begins with a pronouncement of comfort that God has for His people. But if you look back one verse, you'll see verse 39 or verse 8 of chapter 39. It's Hezekiah speaking to Isaiah. Hezekiah said to Isaiah, "The word of the Lord which you have spoken is good, for he thought, for there will be peace and truth in my days." What is that about? Hezekiah was one of the good kings of Israel. He was one of the kings who strove to be faithful to God. But throughout his reign, he was not fully faithful to God. And so much that at one time he let the Chaldeans see all the treasures of the house of the Lord. At that point, God pronounced that Israel or Judah would be taken captive. That the history of many of the wickedness and the rebellion and the playing the harlot by the people would come about. But Hezekiah was comforted. Why? Because it would not happen in his day. As a matter of fact, the captivity of Israel was prophesied and promised before they entered into the land. This is the preparation that God has made, but also He prepared His people for what would come. Number one in your outlines there, God prepared His people for a return. He prepared His people to return from exile before they'd inherited the promised land. He brought people out of slavery in Egypt and promised that He would keep them in the land and remain faithful to them and bless them as long as they were faithful to Him. But He would bring judgment, harsh judgment, if they went after other gods. This wasn't just a promise of what could happen. God knew that Israel would walk away, that they would be faithless. As a matter of fact, in Deuteronomy chapter 31, God says this to Moses. They will walk away. Before Moses dies, before he's unable even to go into the land, he is told by God, the people will rebel. But not only was that going to happen in Deuteronomy chapter 30, you can flip back there with me for just a moment to see God's preparation to bring them back from their exile. It was in chapter 31 that God said that the people would be taken away. But in chapter 30, let me just read here the first five verses. "So it shall be when all these things have come upon you, the blessing and the curse which I have set before you, and you call them to mind in all nations where the Lord your God has banished you, and you return to the Lord your God and obey Him with all your heart and soul according to all that I command you today, you and your sons, then the Lord your God will restore you from captivity and have compassion on you and will gather you again from all the peoples where the Lord your God has scattered you. Your outcasts are at the ends of the earth. From there the Lord your God will gather you. And from there He will bring you back. The Lord your God will bring you into the land which your fathers possessed. And you shall possess it. And He will prosper you and multiply you more than your fathers." This is while Israel was in the wilderness, before they'd taken possession, before they would rebel and be cast out, as He said in the next chapter. He prepared them, and that's when Isaiah's message comes in. Hezekiah was a good king. Not perfect. He didn't do as good as he could have. God pronounced the judgment would happen during Hezekiah's, He pronounced at the time of Hezekiah's reign, but it would happen later. Several kings later, as a matter of fact. And they'd be judged. Jeremiah indicates that they'd be judged for 70 years. They'd be in exile for 70 years. Second Chronicles gives a description of the time of captivity and says that they would be out for the length that the land didn't receive its Sabbaths. In other words, Israel didn't give the 70-year Sabbath to the lands, receiving the 70-year Sabbath to the lands, for the entire time they were in Israel. And they were out of Israel for that duration of 70 years. Because they had rebelled against God. And at this time, when this judgment came upon them, after God pronounced this to Hezekiah, the next chapter begins in Isaiah chapter 40, words of comfort. Comfort, my people, says your God. Speak kindly to Jerusalem and call out to her that her warfare has ended, that her iniquity has been removed, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. God is pronouncing comfort to the people. He's gracious to sinful and rebellious people. And then we hear the familiar words that we often read around Christmas time. The words that are attributed or are directed to and speaking about John the Baptist in his ministry to Christ. The point here from this very first look at Isaiah was this. God prepared his people to endure the exile and to be restored, so that whether they were born in times of goodness under maybe Josiah or Hezekiah, whoever it might have been, or there was under the difficult times of Manasseh, they could look and be comforted that God had a plan, and they were prepared to walk through that, trusting in the Lord. Because though the judgment would come, the comfort from the Lord comes. The planned comfort. The gracious comfort. Where in Isaiah 40 verse 5, the glory of the Lord will be ultimately revealed, which is in the person of Jesus Christ. God prepared Israel for their exile and the return. They were to be ready for that, to be faithful, but when they weren't, they could see and be comforted and encouraged of where they fell in that whole plan of God. Thinking on the theme of preparation, continuing though, with thinking of this text here referring to John the Baptist, God gave adequate announcement and preparation for the ministry of Christ. Number two is preparation for the ministry of Jesus. A voice is calling, clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Make smooth in the desert a highway for our God. Let every valley be lifted up and every mountain and hill be made low. Let the rough ground be made a plain and the rugged terrain a broad valley. This was preparation for the ministry of Christ. The king was coming into a land to make a procession. The people would try to make the road passable. Maybe if a governor or a senator or a president would drive through our streets, they'd get all the potholes taken care of in better time than they do sometimes. But that's the idea. Let those places be made right. But it wasn't a physical path that was John the Baptist was sent to make way, make right. He was sent to prepare the way in the hearts of the people. Luke says that, or in Luke's gospel, that John the Baptist was sent to restore the hearts of the sons of the fathers. The fathers of the sons. He was to prepare the way for the Messiah. So that the people could be ready to receive Christ. John preached repentance from sin unto God to the crowds, to the religious hypocrites, and to the powerful political rulers. We must never forget that. John spoke the message to everyone. Because everyone needed to hear the message of repentance. That we must come to God on His terms, not on my terms. Didn't go well for him with the Pharisees and the religious leaders. They despised him, just didn't acclaim him. They were afraid of the people because the people liked him. Herod wanted to kill him, but just put him in prison instead until he made a foolish promise at a party and then beheaded the Baptist. But his ministry was to prepare people for the ministry of Christ. His message was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John spoke to them clearly, called the people, whoever it was, to see their sin, repent before God. And come to him on his terms. God prepared the people for the ministry of Jesus by sending them the prophet. Thirdly, God prepared his disciples for the death of Christ. Some of the most astounding things in the history of the world would be the incarnation and the ministry of the Son of God. And then the death of the Son of God would also be astounding and unthinkable. God prepared the people for both of those things. The apostles had given everything to follow Christ. They refused to abandon him when so many others did. And they expected to see the fulfillment of the kingdom in their day, to be sitting in places of power and authority. As a matter of fact, even right before the ascension, the disciples said, Lord, to Jesus, are you now going to restore the kingdom? They didn't get it quite even at that point. But during his ministry, Jesus prepared his disciples even for his death. They didn't get it then, though they could have and should have. The apostles were initially unprepared for Christ's death and resurrection, but they quickly displayed confident faith that it had to happen just as Christ had predicted. We see this in the pages of the Gospels. We see this in the preaching of the apostles in the book of Acts. That all those things made sense. Looking back, God had been working and preparing and making those things plain. Their blindness and inability to see it didn't change the fact that God was preparing them to see those things. The people in Israel didn't heed the warnings and prepare their hearts to remain in the land because they continued to play the harlot and they were exiled and God promised to bring them back. The people in the nation, when John the Baptist came, didn't truly have their hearts prepared in repentance for the coming of Christ because the people did turn against Christ, rejected him. The disciples were at the time unprepared for the death of Christ, though they were warned in advance. These are ways in which preparation ought to have been made and faithfulness and endurance continued, but lacked in all those areas. Now, number four there on your outlines, I have your preparation for the return of the Lord. It's easy to look back on the scriptures and see all the stories and all the characters that didn't do what they should have done. But now, we are in part of the story. Immediately following Jesus' ascension, the disciples were told to look for the return of Christ. Told to look for him. They even talked about in their writings that they're in the last days. We are in the last days. Every day we're one day closer to the day when Christ returns. Jesus spoke about His people being prepared for those last days, the ultimate end, to live as people who have been prepared for those things. The angels did not say when He would return. Jesus said that no man knows the day or the hour. Only the Father does. But that He would return quickly. He would return without warning. He would return so as to make it seem like a thief in the night. Many things I wanted to read and say this morning. For the sake of time, I want to look at Matthew chapter 24. This is the message of Christ. Starting in verse 42, He says this: "Therefore be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what time of the night that a thief was coming, he would have been on the alert and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. For this reason, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour which you do not think He will. Who then is the faithful and sensible slave whom his master put in charge of his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will put him in charge of all of his possessions. But if that evil slave says in his heart, 'My master is not coming for a long time,' and begins to beat his fellow slaves and eat and drink and with drunkards, the master of the slave will come on a day when he does not expect him, in an hour which he does not know, and he will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Jesus said that those who would come later needed to be prepared for something: the return of Christ. Let us not be those who missed the warnings, the instructions, and failed to be prepared for what God was doing. He gave Israel hundreds of years of advanced warning of the coming exile. He gave the people of Israel, in Jesus' days, years of advanced warning for the coming of Messiah, for the ministry of Christ. He gave the disciples years of warning, several months of warning of the future crucifixion. And now we have thousands of years of time lapse between the warning of the coming of Christ and when He will come again. Let us not miss and be unprepared for what God is doing. Now, normally the reason why we talk about preparation when it comes to Christmas time is it's so often easy to forget the reason why we celebrate Christmas. We get caught in the hustle and bustle. We put the trimmings and the stuff on the tree and decorate the house and maybe buy gifts or whatever we might do. But do we prepare to celebrate and remember the birth of our Lord? Or just do those things that we do? As we walk through this season, this time of anticipating, remembering the birth of Christ, let's do it intentionally. Let's make it special. Remembering who Christ is, what He came to do. Let's be prepared to celebrate on Christmas Eve and Christmas morning. And not just find ourselves at the end of the day saying, "Where? What day is it again? What are we doing here?" But more than that, more than just a season, we are in a time, all of us right now, where we must live with an understanding of what God is going to do. Be prepared for His coming. John says in 1 John chapter end of chapter 2. I'll close with this. Verse 25, this is the promise which He Himself made to us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you. As for you, the anointing which you received from Him abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you. But as His anointing teaches you about all things, and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you abide in Him. Now, little children, abide in Him, so that when He appears, we may have confidence and not shrink away from Him in shame at His coming. If you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of Him. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called children of God, and such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when He appears, we will be like Him, because we will see Him just as He is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Let us be focused in remembering of what God is doing, and that Christ is coming. Live in preparation for what God is doing. This season, for sure, be prepared to celebrate the birth of Christ with joy and faith and full knowledge. But every day, every season, live faithfully. Not thinking, it's been a long time, He's not coming for a while. Don't be like that. Live anticipating, preparing for the coming of Christ. So we will not shrink away when we see Him. Well, would you please stand with me as I close this prayer this morning? Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for Your goodness to us. That You and Your Word prepare Your people for all that You do. You did not share with Israel exactly when they would be taken into captivity. You did not share exactly the time and date of when Messiah would begin His exact ministry among the peoples. Jesus did not share the exact hour when He would be betrayed and taken to the hands of the Romans and crucified. And You have not shared with us the exact hour of the return of Christ. Let us be prepared, Lord God. Help us to be prepared to live anticipating the return of Christ, living each day for You with Your purposes and Your plan as our primary focus. Help us to love our children as though we are waiting for the return of Christ. Help us to love our wives, men. Help women to love our husbands as waiting for the return of Christ. Help us who work to work as though we are waiting for the return of Christ. Help us as we worship to worship waiting for the return of Christ. And as we celebrate Christmas in a few weeks, may we do so joyfully remembering the birth of Christ, waiting and longing and anticipating His return. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Amen.